And so today we have Christina joining us, and we're really, really excited about this. Going to be talking about all things community led. And I'm your host today, Joe, and we'll go right into some of the details here. I'll hand it off to Christina for a short intro, and then I'll take over and talk a little bit about myself before we go into webinar. So I'll hand it over to you, Christina.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate you spending your time with us. I am Christina Garnett. I am the Chief Community Officer here at Hey Orca, and I am thrilled to be able to talk to you about how to build out a content strategy specifically from a community-led lens. And with that, Joe, on to you.
Thank you. And so I've been working, Christina, for, I'd say we've been working for a year now. We've been talking about community a lot, and really excited to talk about how we actually use the concept of community to inform our content plan. And if you don't know me, I'm Joe, the Chief Executive Orca of Hey Orca. I work really closely with Alyssa and the community team to really make sure that the stuff that we're putting out is things that are things that you guys are looking forward to. So very excited for today. I also want to give a shout out to Leah Haberman. She has joined our webinar. I feel really honored. So thanks so much for tuning in with us. Okay, so without further ado, let's dive right in. So I'll pass it to Christina to kick us off.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. So I know that we're hearing this a lot. We're getting frustrated. We're seeing a lot of noise on social. So we very much want to talk about creating for your community and not the algorithm. But that's very easy to say and very hard to actually implement and do. So the entire crux of this is really going to be able to give you the tools and the thought processes necessary so that you can actually implement this. So what does that even look like? So the one thing to think about is content market fit. And I know that there is, if you spent any time online, if you've talked about startups or product marketing or anything like that, we talk about product market fit, but we very rarely talk about content market fit. And so I really want you to be thinking about, what does this look like from this lens? How can you define and determine what content market fit is for you so that you're going to be able to create content that resonates specifically for your target audiences and personas, and you're able to continually test to see what's working for them, what's resonating, what's creating engagement, all of the things. So to get started, if you don't already know who you're building for, what does that look like? What I want you to do is, and you can take a screenshot of the QR code there and get it for yourself, but there is a community building canvas, which is based off of Steve Blank's business model canvas that really breaks down the core elements of what it takes to create a community. Joe and I worked together to create a social media manager version of that. So this is distilled and broken down into pieces that you need to be thinking about in order to build community from a social media manager lens. And so it comes down to purpose, to shared identity, to value, success, their experience and their roles, and then engagement. And so thinking about what does that look like, we're going to be taking two major pieces of that, the shared identity and value, to really pull out what do we need to be looking at in terms of determining content market fit.
And I love the term content market fit as well. When Christina actually mentioned that, I thought that was like, it encapsulate the role of a content manager, a community manager really well, because sometimes when we put out content, we feel like it needs to perform. But when we understand that it's about finding the content market fit, it changes my mindset so much in the sense that, you know, if it's not performing, then that's not fitting what the market is looking for. And I'm not taking it so personally. And we'll talk a little bit about that later on. So content market fit, it always helps us like understand that it's a moving target. And it's helping us understand that at the end of the day, our content is to be of service to our market, to our community, instead of ourselves.
So we're seeing that the QR code is not working for you. So we'll see if we can get that for you too. But we'll get that added into the chat. But there is a free community certification on the Hey Orca Academy. So if you want to do a deeper dive and be like, hey, Christina, content market fit is fantastic, but I actually want to do a deeper dive into the canvas that you just showed, then that will walk you through the entire breakdown, what you need to be thinking about for each individual section so that you can go ahead and fill that out. So you don't have to do that today, but definitely an opportunity if you did see that and be like, I'd like to learn more. That seems really cool. So the main thing is going back to that was we're talking about shared identity. And so when you're thinking about building a community, when you're thinking about building out these opportunities for content market fit, what you need to do is you need to create a mutually beneficial connection between you and your target audience. And figuring out where the shared identity is going to help you be able to focus in on what the content market fit needs to entail. And so when we're thinking about community, identity comes up. What do you have in common? What are the things that you're looking for? Is there a common title, for example, the Hey Orca community for social media managers, or if it's a community because you're a part of a fandom. Maybe you're a fan of a specific show or a specific movie or a specific IP, or maybe you're a Taylor Swift fan, you're a Swiftie. But your commonality, that identity, is the basic foundation on which the community is built. That is essentially your entry point into realizing whether or not that community is meant for you. And it's the same thing, whether it's a business community or it's something other. And so when we're thinking about that shared identity, if you're building a community or you already have one, especially for a brand, you need to be able to identify what is the shared identity. What is that overlap? Because that's going to help you be able to designate, okay, if this is what they all have in common, the next extension of that is, what do they need? What do they want? What do they hope to gain by being a part of this? And that's going to help you isolate and determine what content market fit looks like. So for Hey Orca, if you look at what we have, you see our community. There's account managers, there's consultants, there's SEO specialists, there's PR professionals. And then we have Hey Orca, we have software developers, business owner sales. Basically, you have the business side on the left and you have the community side on the right. But the shared identity is when we're looking at where do those things converge when we go from users of the product specifically to members of community. And there you're going to be looking at marketing teams. You're going to be looking at social media managers. You're going to be looking at users. And so once we have that overlap, that's going to help us then be able to look at those specific personas to determine what do we need to be creating for them.
Another way to think about shared identities would be shared personas. So if you have personas that you've built to create your marketing plan, a shared persona would mean what is the overlap between what your company's representing, what your community's representing, and what's that shared persona that you guys share together, and all connections, right? Content that's relevant are built on all that shared identity or shared personas.
So then we get to the second part of this, which comes down to value. So you've been able to determine what the overlap is. So what is their identity? What is the reason why they are in there and they realize it's the right community for them? The second layer of this, and this is where things get wrong or can go wrong, is in terms of value. Now you need to be thinking about it from their specific perception and their experience. What do they hope to gain by following you or being a part of this community? Leah, I'm going to pick on you because you're here, but you're constantly looking at the content you're creating to see, like, what do they need to know? What is the value that they hope to gain by being a member of your newsletter list? And so when we're thinking about that, it's very similar. You're going to be looking at the content you make to be like, does this provide the value that they seek? And what does that value even look like? So there's education, there's entertainment. Entertainment feels like the easiest string to pull, but it's actually the hardest, I would argue, because how many times have you seen someone jump on a meme and you're like, great, but you're too late, or great, but that's not a good fit for who you are. So everyone might be jumping on that entertainment trend and it could be a great fit for another brand, but it's not necessarily great for you or for the people who are in your community. It could also be inspiration. It could be advocacy. It could be promotions, but whatever those values are, you need to be thinking about what is the value that you're trying to offer people. And a lot of times when you're thinking about content, you also need to be thinking about curation. And so much about curation is knowing what to choose versus what to say no to. And so it's incredibly important that when you're looking at all of the different types of content that you could be creating for people, specifically for your community, what is in service of them? Because if you can figure out what is in service of them, you're going to find content market fit. That's going to give you engagement. It's going to increase your followership. It's going to increase all of the metrics that you're wanting because you're determining fit.
And Christina, if I can just chime in here. One of the questions that we had from people was, how do I find my value? Like, why do people come and follow me? From our experience, there are three ways you can find that value. One, you look back. So you look at past performing content over a range of time, like 90 days, even a year, and look at some of your top posts and extrapolate what those values are. Why do people actually engage? What's more likely to resonate? The second way is to look at the present, look at your competitors for inspiration, or even brands that you admire that are very similar in industry, to come up with some hypotheses around what actually works. And then the third one is like looking forward, which is experiment. Come up with like two or three value and run those experiments, try to find a content market fit, and then the market's going to tell you if they want to see more of that or they want to see less of that. So those are three ways that we've found worked so far. And so I'll take over from here. One of the ways around creating a content pillar, so there's a lot of discussion around content pillars. I'd love to know in the chat if you think content pillars are still relevant in 2024, or if you feel like they're irrelevant in 2024. For me, I'm a bit biased because this is what we're talking about. I do think content pillars are still relevant, but it's about how we structure content pillars that's going to make it relevant or irrelevant for us. And one way that we've found to come up with the most relevant content pillars is actually to take the two variables that we just talked about and combine them. So content pillars are the most relevant when you combine a shared identity and the value that your community is following you for. So when you combine those two, you can get your content pillars. And I'll show you what I mean by that. So in HeyOrca, on the top row, so what you want to do is put your shared identity. So in HeyOrca, we put the top row, we put social media managers and HeyOrca users. Those are the shared identity that we share with our community. And on the side column, on the first column, we put the values that they are coming to us for. So we know that these are our values that they are actually coming to following us for, because we look at our past performing posts and we look at some of the top performing content are always about education, behind the scenes, entertainment, and platforming other community members as well. And so when we list this on the side, on the column, and on the row, what you do then is just matching them. So you match education for social media managers, behind the scenes for social media managers or HeyOrca users. And here you get your general theme of what you should be doing and who you should be creating it for. But also, I want to talk about the right content for the right audience at the right time. So not all content are created for the right stage of the funnel. So I'm not sure how many of you think about your content like a funnel, but there are a time and place for certain content. You don't want to be putting out bottom of the funnel or sales content all the time. You don't want to be putting out just meme content all the time. So there's a time and place for each of them, and they correspond to the level of engagement as well and objective. So you want to think about top, middle, and bottom funnel. So the top of funnel, usually it's for brand awareness. It's to get onto the discovery platform so that people can actually know about you. People that don't know about you can know you through that. Then you have your middle of the funnel. This is people that have followed you, and the content is to build trust and to consider you as an option for them to go with. And then there's the bottom of the funnel, which are people that are already customers or already users that you're using them for, or you're working with them for advocacy.
Can I stop you there for a second? Go back.
Yeah, go ahead.
So the other thing to think about this is social media managers are usually in a fight with leadership, especially when it tends to come into what kind of content they want to post. So the social media manager knows that the top of funnel content is going to perform better. It usually doesn't have to have any links. It doesn't have to have anything that usually social media platforms don't like. However, leadership will want bottom of the funnel content because they want the conversions. They want that other thing. And if you look at it from a funnel, it's obvious that the top of the funnel content, I am being polite, the top of the funnel content is going to perform better. And the bottom of the funnel, because you can literally see the numbers dwindling. However, when you're doing reporting and you're showing all the top of funnel stuff doing better and the bottom of the funnel stuff not doing as well, leadership is going to immediately act like you don't know what you're doing when that's not the case. So reminding them the top of the funnel content versus middle versus bottom of funnel. And yes, we can absolutely do that, but you cannot expect bottom of the funnel content to perform at the level of top of the funnel content. It's literally in the word funnel. It's not going to perform as well. So when you are talking to leadership and you're having those quote unquote fights, they know what a funnel is. So say like, we can absolutely do that. We can absolutely post this content, but just so you and I both agree, this is bottom of the funnel content. And so we can post it, but we all understand that just because in the sake of it being bottom of the funnel, it's not going to perform as well. So something to keep in mind when you're talking to leadership is that, yes, you can do this. And I understand why you want certain content over another, but literally it's in the funnel itself. It's in the literal visual of a funnel. It's not going to perform as well.
Yeah, that's a really great point. And I think like this is also an advice for us as well when we're creating content, because if we're only optimizing for big numbers and we're not actually taking into account the the funnel, we're only going to be doing brand awareness stuff, like meme stuff. That's how you become a meme account, I guess. But because that's going to attract more people. But when we actually understand how to work a funnel, we understand that at the bottom of the funnel, we're trying to go for conversions. We're going to try to go for advocacy. Whereas when we are creating top of the funnel content, it's all about awareness, views, reach. That would be the metric that we're choosing. Bottom of the funnel, we're actually choosing different metrics like clicks or conversion. So it's really important to really see our content plan in terms of a funnel.
But also, maybe we need to have a future webinar where it's like what your social media manager wished that you knew. And we invite every single leader. Like, it's just for the leaders. Yeah. Let's go.
Like an intervention.
Yeah, we're having an intervention.
So we'll take the funnel, guys, and then we go back to our content pillars. And now we plug in, whether it's a top of funnel stuff or bottom funnel. So in Heyworka, education for social media managers would be top of funnel stuff. So we'll be talking about things that generally social media managers can relate to, like metrics to choose for your funnel. And then we have education for Heyworka users. So this would be how to use the Heyworka platform. So we know that this is more bottom of the funnel, more in the consideration stage, and we're not going to see as much reach, and nor are we going to choose maybe a discovery platform like Reels to maybe put out our content. So we take whether or not it's a top of funnel, bottom or middle, and we sort of plot it out on the content pillars. And this sets the expectation for us in terms of what metrics we should be choosing and also the expected returns on those results. So let us know if there's any questions around this. So you take your content pillars and you basically layer the top of funnel to bottom of the funnel on top of them. And then the next thing is to just get your plan in place. So it comes down to who, when, what, where, and how. So who's responsible for each task around content creation, editing, design, publishing? When are we creating content? When are we doing check-ins and reviews? And what types of content and themes are we creating? So those would be your content pillars. Where are we publishing that? Where are we managing that? And how are we doing that? So it comes down to the basic questions of who, when, what, where, and how, making sure that everyone's on the same page on how we're going to approach our content plan. And then this is straight from our internal planning docs. We want to make sure that everyone's on the same page, especially when you're working in teams. We want to make sure that everyone knows what each of us are doing. And so we actually have a spreadsheet that we sort of compile to make sure that we know exactly what we're posting, when we're posting it, and who's going to do what as well. I'm going to pass it over to Christina for this.
All right. So we all know the adage or the meme, depending on how you look at it. But do you think your content just fell out of a coconut tree? So content does exist in context. And so it is incredibly important that we know that. And because I know there's social media managers on the call, and I know that you're all chronically online, for better or for worse, we love you for it. We'll have our own little therapy session for being chronically online later. But it's really an opportunity to be able to think about the context that surrounds all of this, either for the community itself, for the target persona, and also for the content. Someone mentioned earlier that you believe in content pillars, but you believe that they need to be flexible. You are 100% spot on, because what we are all doing is, even though there are bots on the internet, we're talking to each other as humans. We are specifically focusing on people whose lives are changing daily. There could be a layoff. There could be news that completely changes for better or for worse their work or what they're doing each day. And so context matters. The content, the meme that does really great yesterday, between 24 hours, there might be something that happens that makes that now meme tone deaf, or it makes it inappropriate. And so we need to, as social media managers, for better or for worse, we have to be hypervigilant about context, because it absolutely matters. So you want to use trends to elevate your content, but you do not want them to be defined by it. You don't want to be known as "we just do memes." It needs to be memes that highlight that you get it and that you understand. And so, for example, you can have and be top of mind and top of trend when and if you know that your audience and your target community is also going to be chronically online enough to get it. There's so many memes that I've seen people go really quickly and are able to jump on it, and it's fantastic. But then I realize I am not necessarily their target audience. I'm looking at it from a deconstructionist perspective. And I'm like, oh, that's really cool. I'm glad they did that. it's only great if they did that, if their audience also understands it. And so you also need to look beyond, is this appropriate? Is this meme aligned with us? But is there content market fit? And I will also argue that Mudang is universal. We love her. I love that little bitey hippo. So, but it's important to think about that. And also being able to do the risk assessment around it to see, by posting this, what is this saying about our brand? What is this saying about our audience? And what is this saying about how we show up when things go viral and when things start trending? So it's really interesting and thoughtful about how you look at that. And so thinking about how you can determine relevance, here's four different pieces. And I'm not saying this is exhaustive, but this will kind of encapsulate most of it. So community, is it relevant for the community at large? Is it relevant for who you're talking about? For Hey Orca, because the specific community is social media managers, for better or for worse, you're going to be more likely to be chronically online versus another brand. So the idea of whether or not you actually get that reference, chances are you probably do, but we also need to be thinking about that. Cultural. So a really great thing to think about this is, depending on where you're located, some memes or some trends might be relevant. Some might be inappropriate, or I don't even know what that is. So you need to be thinking about also, if you're a global brand versus a local brand, what are the ramifications or understandings based off of cultural? A great example of this is Emily in Paris. There are Paris and French brands that are reacting quite differently to Emily in Paris versus Netflix and American brands. And it's because there is a cultural zeitgeist there that we don't necessarily have. And so thinking about that, it's really important to consider, what does that look like? And then seasonal. Michael, your comment was perfectly timed. Brat summer is over and we are in the season of being very demure. So very mindful. Or I just saw all the Madison Square Garden, Charlie XCX TikToks are all over my feed. So I could also say it's like Apple. It's Apple fall. So depending on how you're thinking about things, what does that look like for people? But also, we are talking about fall, but and talking about cool weather. But what if we have our audience in Australia? They're not having the exact same experience as us. When we talk about Christmas and the holidays and snow, Australia is like a little different over here. It's really important to think about seasonality, cultural, community, and those things. And then obviously trends. And so how to be thinking about, what does that look like for you? And is there a really good fit? So this is just a bit of a deeper dive. One of the things that I really love is that community is absolutely huge. And obviously, as the chief community officer, I want to amplify and make the voice of the community even larger, which is why one of our content pieces and one of the things that we really strive for at Hey Orca is to amplify the voice of the community. So if you ever say anything positive about Hey Orca, or you share any of your tidbits about this, I hope that you'll see that our team, not just the brand account, is going to be liking and commenting and resharing, because we really love that you had a great experience and we want to be able to make you even louder. And so when you're thinking about how do you show up for your brand and how do you show up for your community, that's really important. One of my biggest pet peeves is when brands show up to escalate the negative, but they never escalate the positive. If you have enough time and issues in place that you have escalation procedures for negative comments, I really want you to take the time to escalate for the good. How are you showing up when people are basically telling your brand, I love you? Are you saying I love you back? Or are you being super quiet? Because, and I'm a major fan of psychology and behavioral psychology as a whole, if you are doing that and you're only responding to the negative and you're not responding to the positive, you are providing negative reinforcement. You're only giving reinforcement for the negative. You're not giving reinforcement for the positive, which means your community will only talk about you when they're mad, because that's the only time you'll show up to them. So think about escalating for the positive as well as escalating for the negative. And then cultural, obviously, I'm America's Next Top Model, will always live deep in my heart. And so I love the idea of showcasing cultural moments that we remember. There's a lot of people who've been using the whole, like, I was rooting for you, all of those kind of things. But I also love that we ask for feedback. And a lot of the carousels where you'll see a lot of these meme types, you'll see at the very end, which one resonated with you? Which did you like? And having that feedback loop is incredibly important, because there's probably people who love your content, but they're lurkers, or people who hate your content, but they didn't want to put you on blast in the comments. So you need to be able to provide a safe way to acknowledge, I want your feedback apart from just you liking or sharing this. I want to hear your voice. And then seasonal, another thing to think about this is that HeyOrca is a Canadian company, but you would not know that necessarily from all of the content that they post. They understand that there's a lot of global users. And so you'll see them talking about the 4th of July and using Miley's party in the USA. You'll see them showing up in different ways. And that's really important because the last thing you want to do is make people feel alienated because of where they're from or where they are, because you still want them to be a customer. You still want them to love you regardless of where they are in the world. So show up for them and showcase that you see that. And then trends. I can actually hear this GIF. I love this. And so it's really interesting. It's not something to take lightly. Trends are fun. Memes are absolutely hilarious. But you are a curator first and foremost. What are the trends that make sense for you, make sense for your brand, make sense for your community? So when you're thinking about trends, you also have to think about content market fit. It all goes back to content market fit, whether it is an ebook, whether it is a webinar, whether it is a meme, whether it is something shiny with lots of emojis in the copy, it doesn't matter. Does it have content market fit? That is the beginning and the end of all of your conversations when you're deciding, should we do this? Should we be creating and posting this? And then if you want to learn about trend newsletters, then you can go ahead and fill out or check out this QR code. If the QR code isn't working, let us know in the chat. We will also make sure that we put a link in there for you as well. And then with that and crying Barbie, I will give it over to Joe.
Yeah, and the final thing I want to talk about is is not to take it personally. Every content that performs is a market feedback. And every content that doesn't perform is also a market feedback. And so this is absolutely me. Sometimes I feel like a content should perform and didn't, absolutely bombed. I just need to remind myself that it's all about finding content market fit. So one thing that has been a game changer for us is to adopt an experiment mindset. Not to say no, you know, we don't do that, but really treat everything like a piece, every piece of content as a data point. Every piece of content allows our community to vote through engagement, through resharing, to say that this is something we care about. And if it goes crickets, is silent, that means that, you know, the market doesn't really care about that kind of content. So when you're creating your content plan, I want to challenge you to focus on the next 30 days. So once you have your content pillars, you understand who your shared identities are, your value, some of the trends that you want to incorporate that's relevant for you. The goal for the next 30 days then is to find content market fit. And what does it look like? For us, it just looks like plotting the content pillars into a calendar. So you decide the frequency in terms of how many post times you want to do, and then just plot it out on the content plan. And the next step is just showing up consistently. So this is my personal HeyOrca calendar. I'm plotting everything out. I'm making sure that I use something like HeyOrca to make sure that I'm consistent. And then finally, at the end of the 30 days, look back and see what works and do more of that. And what doesn't, do less of that. Because it's all about your community telling you what is working and what's not working. So looking at your top posts, it tells you what types of content pillars actually resonate and what format resonates. So for me, I'm trying to build my personal brand on Instagram as well. And I actually did, back in the summer, I did Charlie's Dance as well. And that actually surprisingly did really well. I said, you know, I'm going to just put it out there and see what the community thinks. And actually got 100 likes and lots of comments as well. And talk about our behind the scenes of my life as a CEO of HeyOrca. And that generally performed really, really well as well. So I know that the people that are following me, they want to see sort of the behind the scenes of building HeyOrca. And that's sort of what I'm leaning more into as my content pillar. And then finally, make sure that you're choosing the right metric for the right right type of content. So just going back to the content funnel, you want to make sure what type of content is on the top of the funnel, which one's the middle, and which one's the bottom. And from there, you want to choose the corresponding metrics, because the top of the funnel metric, you want to be talking about reach. You want to talk about impressions. The bottom of the funnel, then, you want to talk about engagement or reshares or conversions. So you want to make sure that you're picking the right metric for the right type of content at the right stage of the funnel. All right, I'm going to skip this one for a bit, but just want to sort of put everything together. So these are some of our learnings so far of trying to find content market fit for our social channels. Number one, approach everything as an experiment. It's not personal. always keep in mind what Christina said. It's all about finding content market fit. The second thing is to keep showing up, be consistent, use a tool like HeyOrca, and be consistent about it. The third one, celebrating your wins. And every single improvement is a win that's worthy to be shouted out. The fourth one is document your ideas and trends. So a lot of times we think that we don't have a lot of ideas, but what we actually found is it's not that we don't have ideas, it's that we don't document them. So if there's any inspiration that hits, any trends that you're seeing while you're scrolling TikTok, make sure that you have a way to save them for inspiration so you can plan that for the next 30 days. And then finally, do more of what works and less of what doesn't. So we hope at the end of the day, I want to end the presentation with this slide because this really inspired me to start HeyOrca, actually, that sucking at something is a first step towards being good at something. And that really inspired me to really just take the first step to starting HeyOrca, to do something that I'm uncomfortable with. So I hope this will inspire some of you as well to just approach your content, keep your community in mind, and approach your content as a means to find content market fit, and then do more of what works and less of what doesn't. So we want to thank you again for taking time to join us on a webinar. And I'd love to connect with you. I know some of you guys have already put your LinkedIn links onto the chat, and Christina as well. If you want to connect with her, what's the best way to connect with you, Christina?
So you can find me on LinkedIn, and I'm across all channels, but I really live on Twitter or LinkedIn for better or for worse. Twitter is my own little special dumpster fire. I'm never leaving. I'm gonna outlast Elon. You can quote me.
And for those who are still here, I'd love to actually send, we are going to be releasing a free plan for HeyOrca very, very soon. So if you haven't already, you can actually sign up for that here, and I'm gonna send it off here. So really excited about this. This is part of our efforts to help social media managers be consistent. And once it's going live, we'll let you guys know and have exclusive access to that. All right, Christina, any last words, any advice before we log off?
Yes, everyone is talking about Nutter Butter right now and it's fine, it's great, I love it. Innovation is not copying and pasting someone else's work. Do what is best for you. Fight for it. The thing is that you'll never be the next Nutter Butter if you're doing what Nutter Butter did. So I love Nutter Butter. They're doing really fantastic things. It took them a while for it to really gain the momentum, and they're doing amazing work. I absolutely love it. However, find your content market fit, be customer obsessed, be audience obsessed, figure out where that sweet spot is, and that is how you will be the next Nutter Butter. And so that's me getting off my soapbox.
That's awesome. So I just want to thank Christina again for taking time out to speak with us. And if you're in Halifax, let us know. We're actually going to be in Halifax next week on a conference. I just want to shout out my team as well, Jesse and Lyle in the chat for helping us with the behind the scenes. So just want to thank everyone else again for joining our webinars, and we hope to see you guys in the next one.